let's talk about replacements for Nimmo, because you know the minor league system, and you just released your top 20. Just Baseball has their top 100 front and center on their website. The second tab on the Just Baseball website, the Mets are the only team with 8 prospects in the top 100. I believe second on the list is Seattle with 7 on the list. And then, God damn it, the Dodgers with 6. And I think the Red Sox are either at 5 or 6. You would know better than I would. But as you put on Twitter, this is the most loaded farm system that the Mets have ever had in your lifetime. So, look, in the conversation that Stearns might have had with Brandon Nimmo, there is, according to people I trust and their informed opinion, there is help on the way in controllable younger players that you could potentially fill some holes with. So just the hole in left field, and I'll just add the hole in center field. Like, what's your ideal? I mean, is Carson Benz your opening day center fielder and someone that they bring from the outside in your ideal left fielder?
So I think it's interesting, you know, when Nimmo says this is what Stearns told me, it was very reminiscent of when Max Scherzer was told that the Mets weren't going to compete in 2025 and 2026. You're trying to get a guy to waive a no trade clause.
Right.
Not that you're necessarily lying to him, but there might be a little bit of, well, this is what we need to kind of say to make sure Nimmo understands that the Rangers really want you and you're a big part of their plans. We still love you. You're a great person. But, you know, if we had our druthers and we want to build this roster, yeah, we'd rather build it without you. So
ironically, the same franchise, too, that they were trying to trade the guy to. It's like, please waive your no trade clause so you can go to Texas. And
exactly.
We're going to be bad.
I didn't even think about that part of it. So I do think that there are prospects that are on the way. And I think that the Mets very well could decide, you know what? We don't need to make any outside additions. Jeff McNeil can be a placeholder in left field. Carson Benz could be our starting center fielder. And we're going to go from there. I think if they did that, they better have brought back Pete Alonso, and they maybe need to get a DH too. But I think the player that jumps out to me that I like the most right now is Jarren Duran, because he played great defense in 2024 when he was in center field. He is an extra base machine, and he is, through arbitration, under control for 3 more seasons. He's going to make about $8 million this year, 7.7. I did the math on it. You're probably looking at Jarren Duran through arbitration, maybe making about $35 to $40 million. So if you can have that guy plugged into your outfield, it allows you to spend in other places. It allows Carson Benz to be in a corner instead of in center field. And I think Carson Benz is very clearly going to be a starter for the New York Mets this season. David Stearns has never been this vocal about a prospect than he's been about Carson Benz. At the GM meetings, he said, Carson Benz is going to have a chance to win a job in spring training. After Nimmo gets traded, he's talking to the media about the outfield situation. He flatly said Carson Benz is going to play. So I think Benz will be one of the answers. I don't think the Mets are getting 2 outfielders this offseason. It's just a matter of, do they acquire anybody? And if that person they acquire is in left field, right field, or center, really doesn't matter, because Carson Benz can play any of the 3 spots. And it's just a matter of, is Juan Soto going to move to left field or stick in right field? I think you can go either way about it. But the way I would look at Carson Benz, he is a high floor prospect that does have 5-tool potential, but the defense is going to play up a lot more if they can put him in a corner. In center field, I think he's going to be good, but he's not going to be great. He could legitimately be a great right fielder for the Mets if that's where they ultimately decide to go with it.
So I would be a fan of Jarren Duran if they were to get him. It's a guy I was staring at all last season when it looked like the Red Sox season was going to go a certain direction, especially after they traded Rafael Devers, although in hindsight it not one for one, but it does mimic a bit of the Nimmo trade. Also, Devers is so much better of a hitter than Brandon Nimmo, so it's I guess not totally a good comp, but in the sense of, we look at this contract as something we don't want on our books long term, and gives us the flexibility. Now they're in on Kyle Schwarber, they're in on re-signing Bregman, they're in on Pete Alonso. Like, they have that flexibility, even though that team prints money and shouldn't need that flexibility, but I digress. The fact that putting Jarren Duran in left field and then Benz in center does lock up your outfield to an extent. And the Mets have like AJ Ewing and Jet Williams and now a second baseman locked up. I mean, what are your thoughts on both of those prospects in the sense of the Mets, as much as you said, David Stearns doesn't want to like create walls or blocks for their path to an everyday position. Like, what's the plan then for Jet Williams if second base and shortstop are locked up and you then have the three outfield spots locked up?
So, you know, what Stern said was that all the guys that we had that would have played second base have that positional versatility to go elsewhere. And you're going to need more than three outfielders in the season. So I think there's a world where, yeah, the Mets can get Duran. I think Duran would actually play center because, again, the defensive metrics in 2024 are unbelievable in center field. It's just they had the best center fielder in baseball in Sonny Rafael this past year. So they move Duran to left. But I think the difference is when you are locking in Nimmo to left field, you're locking in a average defender at best, unfortunately, at this stage of his career. Marcus Semien, if you're locking him at second base, he literally just won a gold glove. So if you're trying to improve the run prevention, he did that. And Simeon's on a three-year deal. After this year, there's 2 years, $46 million left. If Jet Williams so proves in a year that he needs to be the second baseman of the future, the Mets can accommodate that and they can make that happen. I just think that for one, Jet Williams could use another season in the minor leagues to develop. It's not to say that he can't impact a big league club this year. I think he can, but I think there are more things that he can work on than Carson Benj. And there's nothing wrong with letting a 22-year-old spend one more season in the minor leagues because you have a gold glover that's playing second base. And I think Semien, he's because of the defense, because of maybe an ability to get into that pull side power a little more, I think he's a really nice option for this upcoming season. And I don't think this was about we're acquiring Marcus Semien for the next 3 years. It was we're moving off of 5 years of Nimmo, and we feel really good about Marcus Semien as our starting second baseman in 2026. And when you get to 2027, you sort of figure it out. But having two spots open in the outfield right now gives them a lot of room for their prospects. And if they got a Duran or they got a Byron Buxton, again, it's only a three-year deal. And these are guys that can still play a pretty solid outfield, particularly a corner outfield spot, replacing Nimmo if that ends up being the way they go. So I think it's just more flexibility in a lot of different ways.
You said the name that I've been touting for years, by the way, Byron Buxton. That's the guy that I think just would fit perfectly. He apparently at the deadline last year was like, I got a no trade clause so I could stay in Minnesota.
Twin for life, he said.
All right. More power to you. I respect people in their right to live where they want to live, like finish their careers where they want to, like work where they want to work. I just, if that ever came to it, that he's available and you can say to the Twins, give us Buxton and Joe Ryan and, you know, pick your prospects. Do you project Jet Williams to be like, what's your outlook for him and potentially proving himself that he could make the Mets have to go to an uncomfortable place as far as who gets every day at bats and whatnot. Basically, what I'm asking is, what's your projection for Jet Williams?
So he's an interesting one because I do think if he got a bunch of playing time at second base, I think he would end up being a well above average second baseman. Right now, they have still kept him at shortstop a lot. And I think part of that is just he's a more attractive trade chip as a shortstop than he is as a second baseman. I'm not saying that he's definitely moving and that's their plan, but I think they wanted to continue to develop him as a guy that can play a big league shortstop because he has that ability and you never know what's going to happen, right? So he's also your insurance policy if Lindor was ever hurt or anything like that. But ultimately, I think his versatility is something that can be used where he could be a super utility guy early in his career until he maybe settles on a spot where, you know, he plays some center, he plays some left, he plays some second. He, you know, maybe Lindor as he ages gets some more time at DH and he plays some short. So I think he can play all over. The big question with Jet Williams is how much power is he going to get into? Last year he hit 17 home runs, I believe. And he actually, even though he struggled in AAA, hit a good amount of home runs. What Jet Williams can do, it's an unfair comp, but to me, I've compared him to Jose Altuve in the sense that no one would have expected that Jose Altuve would have become the power hitter that he did in the big leagues. And I think Jet Williams, He is obviously small in stature. He has a really good eye. He can get himself into good hitters counts. And I think the more that he gets that big league experience, I don't think the power is going to start there immediately, but I think eventually he can really grow into some power where he might surprise people and hit 25 home runs when right now you're not going to find a scout that thinks he's going to hit more than 15 to 20. So I just think the power is something that's really interesting with Jett Williams. I love the gamer. He's a really fun prospect. And I sort of think that you figure that out later. You know, I don't think you have to worry right now and think, man, we got Marcus Semien, so we got to trade Jett Williams. You can just say, all right, right now, Jett Williams is a little bit blocked on this roster because maybe they got Duran and they have Semien and their outfield and their infield are full. But things are going to happen over the course of the season. You let him play in AAA and, you know, you see what happens. But I think he's definitely trending towards being a big contributor on this team. And I think one that is so flexible that it's kind of unknown where he lands, but he'll land somewhere.
And then we've spoken about first base. We've spoken about the outfield and haven't mentioned the number 99 prospect on the Just Mets rankings, Ryan Clifford. I have no idea how to project this prospect because his power is certainly evident. None of you project him to be that good a defensive first baseman or outfielder. So it's like, oh, so he's like Pete Alonso, which I would rather have Pete Alonso in the future. What do you make? What would you say to me, someone who isn't as much of an expert in the prospect world, but does see what Ryan Clifford is? Is he like? Does he have a future or a path to a major league spot, or is he also a potential trade chip?
So he's. I mean, I think pretty much anybody in the Mets system outside of Nolan McLean and Carson Benj, I think, could be had in the right trade. But Ryan Clifford. The one thing that's good about him is even though it's probably like his best position is first base. And if he's going to be an above average fielder in the big leagues, it's probably at first. He has made strides in the outfield where he doesn't have a ton of range. He's not the quickest guy, but he's got a cannon for an arm. So he brings something out there and he's passable. So I think he's similar to a guy like Ryan O'Hearn where you play him at first, but you know, if your team needs a corner outfielder, you can stick him in left and he can get by. I think because of that versatility that Clifford brings, you can have him on the roster even this upcoming season where you can find time for him in a couple of different spots. Is he going to be the one that really helps that run prevention? Probably not. But if the bat translates, then you stomach some of that stuff. So I think in some ways, he has more of a defensive future than Mark Vientos does, if that makes sense, right? Because I think more experience, going to be a better first baseman than Vientos probably would be. And then you have the ability to stick him in the outfield, where at this point, Mark Vientos, it's, are you really going to continue to do that at third base? I don't think so. So it's kind of first base DH at this point.
I would be very mad if they continue to do that with Mark Vientos. You and I haven't had the chance to talk about this. Every inning he played at third base, once Brett Beatty started to show what he was showing last year, every inning, basically since June, that Mark Vientos played at third base, I was upset with. I just was like, why? Like that Philly series will always bother me. That one in Philadelphia where Beatty didn't play any of the games because all they threw was lefties out there. And it was like, okay, so the better third base glove is not playing. Like Vientos's bat has returned to April and May Vientos, and I'm stuck watching like Beatty's. I know he's not like great against lefties. He's not terrible. He's not hopeless against lefties. And I'm sorry. I'm relitigating stuff from a very frustrating Mets.
I do want to comment on that because Brett Beatty even said it himself at some point this season, like hitting lefties was never a problem with him in the minor leagues. And sometimes we get into this thing with lefty bats where you bring them out to the big leagues and you just try to protect them from lefties where they might not need it. And then it becomes a problem. And then it becomes tougher for them to hit lefties. We saw it, you know, for years with Michael Conforto in the very beginning, you know? And so I think, and I hope that moving forward, Brett Beatty is just the everyday third baseman with Ronnie Mauricio being the guy that can now wait in Syracuse and be the alternative option, because both of those guys I think stand to be really good on the verge of outstanding defenders. I mean, they are really good at the position. And I think when David Stearns at the end of the season says we need to you know, improve our defense and our run prevention. To me, I thought that, yes, I didn't think Nimmo was going to get traded. I thought that what he was saying was Vientos is no longer playing third base and Jeff McNeil is no longer playing center field. That was, I think, the biggest thing that you could do to say, we tried this because we needed offense and it didn't work. And so moving forward, we're not going to make that mistake again.